think yesterday we thought some of the things that we really want to do is really to make sure that in the cell we have a bit more structure. When I say structure, it doesn't mean that we can't do anything, everything, but we thought maybe it's always good to be able to just articulate and deal during the cell group or what we talk about the week before. So for example, if we meet next week, Wing and Sabrina, there will be some questions that may be posed about what do you learn from the service. So people like Joe will come up with the question. So a bit of that. But having said that, doesn't mean that you can't discuss about anything else. But we want to have some basic structure for a cell group. And we also thought, and people like Silas were just thinking, maybe it's also good that we, and also it's beneficial for people like Silas when we speak, that we hear that when people speak, that they learn something. So every week we'll ask someone to come forward and just share with us what you learned the week before. And please don't feel like we're trying to stress the system or it's not like I want to hear how good I spoke last week. I mean, Sharon doesn't look like the sort of person, right? But I want to just encourage people to just come and talk about the week, what we talked about the week before. So as we start the book of Micah, this is what we're going to do. There are also some things we want to just tell you that we want to do. For example, we have young adults. Young adults being defined as anything between 20 to 30 or thereabouts. We want to really start a young adults group, and that's really the next generation, isn't it? So if you call Silas and I 1G, people like Dawn 2G, then we have the 3Gs. 3Gs will be people like Tiffany and Brian. So on the 28th of Jan, there's some people want to meet Tiffany, Brian, and I also got another a guy, Jun Yang, who can't make it. He will join us. And we want to start. I tell people, no need to wait too long. Start first. If you don't start, you go nowhere, right? Start with whatever we have. And I send you the best. Tiffany, Brian, I send you people like Silas Gunn and a certain other person. This certain other person also very good. You know who? Me. And then I told Don, but there's the 1G, there is the 3G. I need some people in 2G. And I told Don, I shook hand with Don. I say, Don, you come alongside. So I want to just get things started. Hear us out. Why are we doing this? Because you need to be in a community. Isn't that why you are here, Mark, June, or maybe Amanda? Otherwise, come here for what? Well, as we come together, I want to encourage, we come together and grow. And Wing, I want to see you in Singapore more often. Not that Sabrina tell you that I'm telling you, but really, it's good to be back here. If we travel too often, we sometimes lose the touch, right? Get the balance right. If you keep traveling and then you lose the touch, that's also part of the community. So I want to encourage us. You need to travel, but this is home. Let's get this right. Okay? I want to just leave this as a thought. And without further ado, I'll ask Sharon, the first scapegoat, to just tell us a bit about last week. Anything bad about me, don't say. Just tell me. And otherwise, I feel very hurt and I'll get depressed. But just say good things. I'm kidding. But can we just welcome Sharon for a while? Come. Any mic for her? 这个用我的. Come.
Okay, so when he first asked me to share what I learned, I also be stressed. Because I'm not a very theological person, although I have friends who are and who lectures in a theological college. But anyway, I think the part that strikes me the most is walk humbly with God. The politically correct answer is yes, we should do it. I can tell you I struggle with it personally because there's other things that I think I'm smarter or whatever. So during this whole week, there are some insights. One is that Pastor Daniel said to be teachable. I find that sometimes as we grow older, we think we're smarter than our peers, our juniors, or thank God, but we shouldn't be. So we should always walk near to Him, even though personally I find it very hard. I can tell you we should do it, but I don't do it. Sometimes. Most of the times. Yeah. The other one is, second insight is, actually, besides being teachable, we should also be teachable by the younger ones in our midst. Like Tiffany, you know. Because they can teach us about the way of life. Yeah, I know it's sometimes a bit funny, the way they think. But it's quite interesting. Some food for thought. For example, like FIRE or YOLO, all this kind of thing. Think about it, lah. When you want to work so hard, drop dead and never enjoy life, right? Or do God's work, for that matter. So I mean, like last time, it's like, oh, when I'm very rich, then I'll do God's work. You know, the kind of thing? When I make my million. But then it's like for the younger ones, they're quite okay. Minimal income, they will do God's work. For my JC, the best guy actually went to serve God. Yeah. So he went to be a pastor and all these things. He could have become a doctor or something else, but he didn't. So, yeah. So we also learn from the younger ones. Then on my way here, suddenly I'm very impressed. I'm quite shaking right now because I'm not so used to public speaking. Actually, about the last part, walk humbly with God. I thought about Daniel because it's tough for him and his family, what he's going through, if you hear between the lines. But he chose to be still very cheerful and still wear bright colors, come out here and be cheerful, crack jokes. And I think that's very inspiring. And I think God also taught me that even though it's tough for people at their own home, they still serve, just like my cell leaders and all this. It's not easy. But, you know, people are drawn to them. The cell group is growing, physically, numbers. So, yeah. So that's why I learned. Thank you.
My goodness. You need free legal advice for the next 25 years. It's all free of charge, you understand? Ask me anything and everything. All right? But once Owen asks, I press the clock. Guys, thank you so much. I always say we all have our own, not axe to grind, but cross to carry, right? But when we come before the Lord, we lay everything at the altar as a likeness of touch to whatever problems. All of us have problems. Last week, yesterday I was just meeting some of the guys. I told them about my whatever I need to deal with. But it's easier when we deal with it. For example, if Silas comes and pull us on the side, say, how are you doing? If Angela talks to Karen and say, how are things? And then we can just talk. And then when we talk, Amanda, we don't need to talk. Oh, pretend, oh, how are you doing? Yeah, how's the weather? Your grandmother okay? Your monkey okay? The dog okay? No need. Straight to the point, say, that thing, how is it? And just now, we were just talking about trying to maybe see how the cell groups we need to whatever. I'll be honest. I said to Royston and Shireen, maybe we have to sort of combine cell groups or whatever. And the net effect was that I told Royston and Shireen, if we combine and we pull people like Silas or Winnie or Gunn out, who do you have left, Silas? They go, nobody. It's only Royston and Shireen. Then I told Royston, so how if that happens? His answer is, we just soldier on. I mean, where to find such people? Shireen, you married very well. This kind of husband, where to find? But in having these people that we grow, right? Because we don't think of ourselves, we think of others. And that gives us that ability, that magnanimity to be able to grow because we're always watching out for other people. So guys, we don't profess to be the best, but we try to grow. And we grow, it is evident. People can see evidence of growth, right? We don't have to talk a lot, but like you say, we read between the lines, we look at people, and we're encouraged by the unspoken, isn't it? Not so much what we speak, but the unspoken encourages us. I'm really thankful, Sharon. So next 10 weeks, you keep doing this, okay? I'm kidding. Next week, find somebody else. Otherwise, with this, let's welcome my good friend Gunn. I want to tell you marketplaces like that. Do you know how I know Gunn? I know Gunn from playing football. I know Gunn from playing football 20 years ago. Is it 20 years already? 20 years ago. Last time he was gangly and then he's still like that. He never grew, never put on weight. I think it's the same kind of pants, the waist also never put on. But he's a good man and when we ask him to really come to this church, I tell you what, how he grew. We just threw him into the deep end. Isn't that Silas? When he was back in wherever he was, no need to grow so much because, you know, that kind of thing, he was a certain level, no need. But when you throw people in the deep end, Sharon got no choice but to grow. And look at this man. Where's Ivy? Oh, there. I want to also tell Ivy that he married well, but never mind, I'll tell her later. Well, without further ado, can we just get Gunn to here? And today we all got reunion dinner, right? So we want to finish on time. Oh, Gunn's a warning. I'm kidding. Can we just welcome Gunn? Thank you.
Actually, I think Daniel shared everything I need to share, right? So I don't need to share. So today we continue on the series of Okay, anyway, I was told to cover the series on Micah, chapter 3. The book of Micah is actually quite, as what Daniel mentioned last week, right, it's quite a tough book. So maybe I should start on a lighter note, start with a joke. Not sure you've heard of this joke before. long, long time ago, which my daughter would tell me is yesterday, there lived a young boy with his parents. This boy was addicted to sugar, likes to eat a lot of sugar, right? So the mother warned him a few times, but not to eat so much, it's not good for his health. But the boy doesn't listen, right? Boy, for illustration only. metaphor. Huh? Okay. So anyway, what was I? Yes, the boy likes to eat a lot of sugar. The mother tried to tell him not to eat so much sugar. Doesn't work. So the mother decided to bring the boy to see an elder, maybe Elder Daniel, because the boy will listen to the elder, right? So, but to bring the boy to meet the elder stayed in a lot very far away, so they have to travel a long distance. And they had to walk through very hot weather conditions. Anyway, long story short, the mother decided to bring the boy to see the elder. And finally, they reached the place, and the mother asked the elder to speak to the son, to tell him not to eat too much or take too much sugar, because it's not good for his health. Then the elder replied, "Oh, I can't tell him now. Can you come back in 1 month's time?" So the mother was confused and a bit upset that the elder didn't do or didn't provide a solution, right? But nonetheless, she went back with the son. And 1 month later, the mother brought the son back to see the elder. And again, the mother asked the elder to speak to the son. And this time around, the elder turned to the boy and said, "Young boy, don't eat so much sugar. It's not good for your health. Listen to your mother, okay?" And then the boy agreed. So the mother was confused, right? And so she asked the elder, "Why didn't you tell the boy, you know, the first time? And why make us make two trips, right?" So the elder turned to the mother and smiled and said, "Well, the last time when you were here, I too had the habit of eating a lot of sugar. So that's why I couldn't tell the boy." Okay, it was not funny. you didn't get a joke. Okay, anyway, the moral of the story is this. As a leader, if you want the people to follow you or to listen to you, you need to set or lead by example, right? So one of the key themes of the Book of Micah is injustice, right? Injustice resulting from bad leadership. Bad leadership by the leaders of Israel, right? The rulers, the priests, and the false prophets. These leaders didn't set good examples for the people. As a matter of fact, as we will explore today, they did the exact opposite. Lao Hua. Oops. Okay, so Micah 3 is a very short chapter. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of learning points. Micah 3 is a very short chapter, but there are actually a lot of learning points that I thought we could draw from this simple chapter. I picked up 3 key points from different perspective, and thanks to Joe. It's titled "Called to be His Chosen People," essentially how we Christians should live out our life as chosen people, right? And I thought it ties in nicely with the verse for 2023, which is Micah 6:8, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Okay, so the first point. First point. Okay. First point, which is to act justly, right? Let's look at. So essentially, we look at. If you look at the leaders or the people in authority in Micah 3, and this is found if you go to verse 1 to 3, Then I said, "Listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, should you not embrace justice, you who hate good and love evil, who who tear the skins from my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin, and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. So this passage reminded me of a contrasting passage which is found in 1 Peter 5, 2-4. Where Paul was addressing the leaders and elders in the church. So this is what Paul said in 1 Peter 5, right? Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So by right, this is what the leaders should be doing, right? Leaders should be shepherds of God's flock, or the people under their care, watching over the people. Leaders should not be pursuing dishonest gain from serving, not lording over the people that God has entrusted them, and be an example to the people. But if you go to Micah 3 again, we learn that the leaders was doing the exact opposite, right? As a matter of fact, the irony here is that the leaders, by right, who should be the ones to know the law, were actually the ones who broke the law, right? And the leaders who were supposed to protect the people, they were actually the ones who were taking advantage of the people. So if you go to Micah 2:2, the rulers actually robbed the people of their fields, their houses, and their inheritance. So the rulers were actually gaining wealth through theft and greed, right? And in Micah 3:2-3, it's actually interesting here. The metaphor that Micah used to describe the leaders is that of a cannibal, right? He accused the leaders of actually eating the people. And if you put that against Paul's command, right? Essentially, what it's saying is the shepherd that was supposed to protect the flock was in fact feasting on the sheep, right? So then in Micah 3:5, Micah turned to the false prophets. He said to the false prophets, they were misleading the people, right? So again, think about it. By right, the prophets were supposed to bring the word of God to the people. But instead, here the false prophets were practicing preferential treatment. So they deliver the message good message to the wealthy, and then deliver the opposite message to those who cannot pay. So just like the rulers, they too were motivated by greed. And finally, in Micah 3:11, Micah said that the leaders judge for a bribe, the priests teach for a price, and the prophets tell fortune for money. So I thought this was a good reminder, right? Many of us here are leaders in many ways, whether in a church, in the marketplace. God placed us in these leadership positions to care and watch over the people that's under us. And the reminder here is we need to act justly with the authority that's given to us. So was it not from the Spider-Man movie, right? With great power comes great responsibility. But the truth of the matter is, in this world, with great power comes great privileges. So, funny story. Some time ago, in my workplace, I have this small little office, right? One fine day, the aircon in my office broke down. I mean, it's been quite old, 10 years. So, finally, it gave up. So, it broke down. So, no aircon. So I informed the infrastructure team, right, get a fix. So they said, okay, please wait, take a number, queue, you know, whatever. So I wait, I chase, right? 3 years, not fixed. So I worked in a sauna room for 3 years. Right? And things got worse. Then my laptop broke. The screen cracked. There's a spider web on my screen, right? And it was so bad that the screen started to flicker. Right? So I was telling the IT, I need a new laptop. Because after a day of work, right, after looking at the screen, my eyes also start to flicker. Right? So but again, the same. Right? They asked me to wait. And again, after 2 years, no news. I don't know how it came about, but by chance, somebody of a higher authority came about, and he happened to found out that I was working in a sauna room with a disco screen. You know, so he was shocked. So he asked, "Why didn't you get it fixed?" So I said, "No, it's okay. I have a lot of things to do, more urgent things to do. This is the last thing on my mind." Right? But he said, cannot. So he decided to shoot email. Right? Bosses like to shoot email, right? So immediately shoot an email to the respective departments. And immediately, the aircon was fixed within 1 month. I got my new laptop. The IT department gave me a priority lane. I jumped to the front. Immediately, I have a new laptop. What's the moral of the story? The reality is, with great power comes great privileges. Right. But taking lessons from Micah 3, right, with this power, with this authority that's given to us, we need to be careful. Right. We need to act justly. Right. If we are not careful, greed, just like the leaders in the book of Micah, the greed can actually consume us. And it's very easy to fall into temptation to take advantage of our positions for selfish gains. And if you look at what were the consequences of that, right, for the book of Micah. So if you go back to Micah 3, 4. Bearing the time, so you read yourself Micah 3. So essentially the Lord turn away from them, right? So it says there that then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At the time, he will hide his face from them because the evil they have done. So essentially, Micah prophesies that the Lord will turn away from them. And in verse 6 to 7, it says, "Therefore, night will come over you without vision, and the night darkness without divinations. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them." So this was to the prophets, or the false prophets. Right? So essentially it says, Micah was prophesying that the false prophet would no longer hear from the Lord. And finally in Micah 3:12, Micah prophesies the destruction of Jerusalem. So the consequence of their injustice, essentially, one, the Lord will turn away from them. Two, they will no longer hear from the Lord. And finally, it will lead to their destruction. So I thought this was the first takeaway I picked up from Micah 3, that as leaders with the privileged power that we are given, we need to use it justly. God places us in position of leadership so that we are shepherds of the flock. We are to care for them and to watch over them. And if you pay attention just now, that's what Daniel mentioned. Yesterday, we had our leaders meeting for the church. And I thought it was an amazing session. Right? Firstly, to see the body of Christ coming together as one. Everyone so passionate with the common goal of trying to further his kingdom. And then the fact that there was no rank. Right? Everyone was equal. It was a very open, honest discussion. And we were discussing exactly the same topic, right, on how we can strengthen the community so that people that are put under us can grow in their walk with God. So it was actually, I believe the rest will agree, it was a super productive session. We learned a lot from one another, from each other's experience. This in our industry is called peer-to-peer learning, right? And iron sharpen iron. Okay, moving on. Colossians 4:1. Oh, thank you. Paul said, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know you also have a master in heaven." we are shepherds, or we are made shepherds of his flock, right? And I came across this infographics that's commonly used in management training. Okay. It says that the boss is one who gives instruction and has a tight control on the employees to get things done, right? My wife is not here, but my wife always say that I'm the boss. I just talk only and expect everyone to do the work. And in most management training, they would teach you to be a leader, right? Leader? Ah. So a leader, on the other hand, is one that leads his followers, guides them, one that empowers them, a good listener, and also one that motivates his followers, right? But of course, exercise wisdom. Don't end up like the third guy, which is, right? Don't be taken advantage by the followers. These days, I feel I'm more like the third guy. So again, coming back, my first takeaway from Micah 3 is as leaders, we need to use the privilege power that we are given justly. God put us in position of leadership so that we are shepherds of his flock. We are to watch over the people that are under our care. Okay, that's the first point. And essentially, that summarizes the whole of chapter 3. But I'd like to highlight two other takeaways from this chapter. So point two, which is to love mercy, I thought we could examine this through the prophet Micah himself, right? So who is Micah? Micah comes from a small town of Moshef, southwest of Jerusalem, right? He was from a rural area. He didn't come from a powerful background. He was just an average Joe. But yet, he was brave enough to criticize against the rulers, the priests, and the false prophets for their corruption, right? So think about it. Micah could have mind his own business, right? Like everyone else, just treat the injustice as a norm. I mean, majority of the leaders at that time were practicing it. It was the norm in the society. He could have just ignored, right? Which led me to the question, does it mean that it is okay to do what the leaders did when everyone else is doing it? In other words, today, if everyone is practicing something that is wrong, does it mean it is now right to do it? A couple years ago, I organized this, we call it the fireside chat, right? We invite renowned startup founders to come. So there's this founder who is doing very well in this particular country. So we invited him to come and to share his journey, right? In that particular country, corruption is a norm, right? So somebody from the crowd asked him this question, right? How does he deal with corruption in that country? So his reply was this, right? Go with the norm, right? Everyone is doing it, so just follow, right? So in his accounting, giving bribe is part of his marketing budget. So again, coming back to the question, right? When everyone is doing it, does it mean it is okay? Right? Tough question, right? So Micah could have just accepted injustice of the people as a norm, right? But Micah had a strong compassion for the lowly, for the less fortunate, victims of injustice, i.e. he had mercy on the oppressed. But not only that, but not only for the oppressed, he also had mercy for the perpetrators, because by prophesying against the leaders, he's actually trying to get the leaders also to repent, right? But do you realize, in doing so, by speaking up against these leaders who were so much more powerful than him, Micah actually risked being thrown into jail or potentially even losing his life, right? Yet Micah was brave enough to step forward to speak against the leaders, right? So why, right? Firstly, as we mentioned earlier, he had a heart for the people, right? And secondly, because he knew he was backed by the most powerful authority, which is our God. So if you go to Micah 3:8, it says there, "But for me, I am filled with the power, with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and might, to declare Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin." So he was filled with power, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and might, right? We do not know what happened to Micah, right? However, in the book of Jeremiah, we know that Micah did not live his days in fear of punishment or death, right? In fact, Jeremiah writes that Micah's prophecies made positive impact. And I thought it was interesting, because this is 140 years later, right? The prophet Jeremiah did exactly the same thing. Jeremiah too prophesied against the leaders, and Micah was mentioned then 140 years later, right? So if you go to Jeremiah 26, 16 to 19, right? So the context was Jeremiah prophesies against the leaders. So the priests and the prophets seized him and wanted the officials to sentence him to death. But then the officials and the people defended him. So if you go to verse 16, right, it says here that the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man," which is Jeremiah, "should not be sentenced to death. He has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." And verse 17, it says, "Some of the elders of the land stepped forward and said to the entire assembly of people, 'Micah of Moresheth,'" which is the Micah in the book of Micah, "'in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, he told all people of Judah, this is what the Lord Almighty said, Zion will plow like a field, Jerusalem will become heap of rubble, the temple hill a mound overgrown with thickets. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, or anyone else in Judah put him to death? Did Hezekiah fear the Lord? Or did not Hezekiah fear the Lord and seek his favor? And did not the Lord relent so that he did not bring the disaster he pronounced against them?" So despite the risk of losing their lives, both Micah and Jeremiah stood up for the oppressed. Okay, so recently there's been this debate, right, about the whenever there's an accident or something unfortunate, the first thing that the people do is to take your phone, take picture, take video, put on your social media, right? So some argue that they are actually helping, you know, they are taking evidence of the perpetrators. But isn't it more helpful if you first just call for help, you know, call for ambulance or police? Not sure if you all remember this, in 2021, there is this topic on the bystander effect. This came about because of the death of a Myanmar domestic helper, right? So the domestic helper was died in the hands of his her employers. And I believe earlier in the week, this was in the news because the employer was just sentenced. Anyway, according to the article from 2021, the CNN article, it says here that the forensic autopsy found 31 fresh scars and 47 external injuries, right? And on the helper, which was the outcome of repeated choking, beating, and prolonged starvation inflicted by the employer, the employer's mother, and the employer's husband. But what caught the nation's attention was not just the abuse, but was the fact that several people actually crossed paths with this helper, yet none of them actually raised the alarm. Right? So first, there was the maid agency. Right? The agent actually met the helper twice, but she didn't notice any issue. Then there was a doctor who attended to the helper for medical screening. He noticed the bruises, but didn't take any action after the employer brushed off the injuries with some explanation. And finally, there were two tenants within the employer's household and also the neighbors along their corridor. None of them actually raised the alarm. And if any one of them had done so, this tragedy would have been prevented, right? The article also cited another incident in China. This is October 2013. Right? There was this 26-year-old woman in Beijing. She leaned against a barrier along the road. So the barrier, you know, is a barrier. So she leaned too hard and then fell into the barrier. So the barrier, like that. And then her head. And then what happened was, this was actually a busy street. So people that went past literally did nothing. They just walked past her. And when they checked the security camera, right, there were about more than a dozen people that actually looked at the woman. They actually stared at the woman. Someone even took out their phone to take a picture of her. You can actually find the picture on the internet. I didn't put it up because I thought it was a bit inhumane. But anyway, finally, after half an hour, finally somebody called the police and to pull her out, bring her to the hospital. But it was too late. She was pronounced brain dead. Anyway, in both two examples I've just cited, technically there's no risk to stand up for the people in need, right? Nothing to lose. You just make a call. But in the case of Micah and Jeremiah, they actually risked their life to stand up for the oppressed. So I was just wondering, and I thought it was a good reminder for us as well. We should stand up for the those in need, right? And some choose, just like in the case of the second example, some choose to be neutral, right? I don't want to be involved. I'm not endorsing the perpetrators. Neither do I want to help. Right? So I like what Desmond Tutu said here. So Desmond Tutu is the Anglican Bishop, Nobel Peace Prize winner. So he said this: if you are neutral in a situation of injustice, you have actually chosen the side of the opposer. So in other words, if you know of an injustice and you choose to remain silent, not standing up for the oppressed, you are no different from the perpetrators. So my second takeaway from Micah 3, we need to love mercy and we need to stand up for the less fortunate. Okay, finally, walk humbly with God. So to act justly, we look at the corrupt leaders, right? And then to love mercy, we look at Micah, the bystander. So I thought to walk humbly with God, we examine this through the lens of the victims, right? The people who were being oppressed, the people that were suffering from injustice. If you are in the shoes of the people, right, what would you do? What would you do if you are on the receiving end of injustice? I think sometime ago I mentioned this, right? In soccer, you should ask Daniel, right? When somebody tackle you, what do? Tackle back. Vengeance. Actually, on this, something funny. Last week, in the kids' service, Joe asked our kids to fill up this card, right? Write down one sin. So after the service, my daughter came to me to share her sin with me. So obviously, I'm curious what sin does she have. And then this is what she wrote. She said, "God, I'm very sorry, but this boy in my class, very naughty, always like to bully me." Very smart, right? Before she repents, she justifies for the sin. So basically, there's this boy in her class who's very annoying. Right? He always make fun of her, disturb her. So one day, when the boy was not paying attention, she took his calendar, right? And then wrote on one of the days, she wrote there, "I think this is a good day for you to die." What a vengeance. So anyway, good thing that she knows it's a sin, and she's asking for forgiveness. Anyway, come back. Vengeance is obviously not the solution. Remember what Daniel shared last week. Vengeance is from the Lord. Romans 12:19, which what the Lord said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," said the Lord. Right? But then, what can you do if you're on the receiving end of injustice, you're treated unfairly, you're suffering, you're in pain? This is where I was reminded we need to walk humbly with God, to submit and trust Him completely, right? Incidentally, I went through a period of oppression. My department was on the receiving end of oppression, yes, for a long period of time. I shared this in a cell group not too long ago. I guess God's plan, maybe that's why I need to share with you all the testimony. Okay, long story, so maybe I'll fast forward. Okay, let me describe this as a metaphor. Do you all know metaphor? Lions? No, Lion Kingdom. National Geographic? No. Okay, in the Lion Kingdom, essentially what happens is sometimes lion fights, right, to take over a pride. So if you're a lion, an enemy lion comes around to take over your pride, they will fight, kill the lion. And after kill the lion, usually they'll kill the cubs as well. Why they kill the cubs is, firstly, the cubs doesn't belong to the winner, right? And the second reason is to kill the cub so that the lioness or the female lions will then mate with him to produce his own offspring. So, Lion Kingdom. Why are we on this? Anyway, coming back, yes, metaphor. So this is what happened, right? The lions, which are above me, were fighting. Unfortunately, my lion died. So the lion above me died. So the winner then came after the cup. I'm next in the firing line, right? So I'm the cup. And so what do you do, right, when the lion came after you? And not just the lion, this one, even the hyena, the giraffe also come after you. Everybody want to have fun. So what do you do? If you're the helpless cub, what would you do, right? You can't defeat the oppressor because you're just a tiny cub, right? You can't run, you can't hide. So what do you do? I like what Daniel shared last week. He talked about this all in, right? All in for God. That was exactly what I told God as well. You know, so I told God, I do not know why I need to go through this, but I trust that this is to help me to grow, and whatever is required of me, I will obey. Right. So I all in. So I told God, if you want me to jump into a shithole, I'll jump. If you want me to drown in a shithole, I will also drown. The only thing I asked of God was, wherever you send me, walk with me on this journey. And He did. As a matter of fact, God went before me and protected me throughout this journey. So during this season, God sent me a lot of messages. And one of the verses that caught my attention was this 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, right? Which says, rejoice always, pray continuously, continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This passage, this exact passage, was shared by somebody in the church chat group many years ago. It caught my attention, so I screenshot it, I saved it as an image on my desktop, and it was forgotten, right? And amazingly, just when I was looking for peace and help, God directed me back to this verse. But then it says here, right, in all circumstances, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. I mean, if you are in the shoes of the people in the book of Micah, you are suffering from injustice, how do you rejoice? Right? I mean, pray maybe. But then the next command is to give thanks. How do you give thanks for suffering? Right? Doesn't make sense. So as I was doing some reading on this, the word for my reading administered to me. So this is what I learned, just to share. So verse 16, which is rejoice always. How do you rejoice when you're suffering? Right? So one of the articles that I came across wrote there that joy is not automatic. It is a choice. Right? You can choose. in every situation, there's always, it's either half empty or half full. So if we trust in the Lord that everything that we go through is for the good, for our good, then we should rejoice in all circumstances, including suffering, right? So God is using our suffering to help us to grow, to mold us. And verse 17, pray continually. And sometimes this is challenging, right? Especially when you are preoccupied by the problem that you're in. But prayer is important because praying continually is actually an act of total submission, total dependency on God. So in everything that we do, we seek God, right? And the word continually signifies that we should never give up. Even when our prayers are unanswered, we should be persistent, right? And finally, to give thanks in all circumstances. And this is because of our identity in Christ. So we covered this in the last series, right? That we should always first anchor our identity and not focus on our circumstances. I think it was covered by Royston. So, and we trust in the Lord that because we know of His amazing grace. So what was amazing was, as I was reading and on this, the exact point in time, right? It was 10 p.m. And you all know 10 p.m., there's a daily verse in the church, right? And the verse that was shared at that time was from Psalms 9:1. It says there that I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of His wonderful deeds. So only God could have timed it. Right? Anyway, just to conclude on my testimony, for my situation, it was a long journey. But God was super amazing. He constantly sent me messages, blessings, and even miracles to walk with me throughout this season. And in the end, amazingly, the tables were turned. The oppressor miraculously was taken out of the equation. And that's not all. Our department today, we are the favor of the month. So if you look, 252, right? So we have to go through to grow, right? And then you have favor, right? And after favor, I can tell you, very soon I'll be in the season of flavor, right? So God has been great. But as I shared in the last sharing, the biggest takeaway for me through this experience was not the blessing or the miracles that God blessed me with, but rather it was to have that intimate relationship with God. I was so blessed, you know. Whenever I spoke to Him, I cried out to Him, reached out to Him, He responded immediately. The whole experience was so intimate that it felt as if I was having a conversation with Him every day. So all glory to God. I mean, sometimes we pray, it takes a while before you hear the sign, but in that particular instance, it was almost immediately. So, yeah, again, God was very kind to you. Again, as I said, right, maybe because He know my tolerance level very low, right? If He ignore me, then maybe I will collapse. So I need to reply my email immediately. You know. Anyway, so if any of you are going through similar persecution, if you are suffering from or in a season of injustice, whether in work, in home, in a relationship, I know it's tough. And it's easier said than done, but my encouragement to you today is rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks, for this is the will of the Lord. Right? Okay, in summary, going back to the original question at the beginning, how should we live out as God's chosen people? So my three takeaways from Micah 3. Firstly, as shepherds, we are to take care of the flock that is placed under our care, act justly, right? Secondly, we need to stand up for the less fortunate, love mercy. And finally, if you are on the receiving end of injustice, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, walk humbly with God. Thank you.
My mic? Tech 1, 2. My goodness, it's only 5:50. I in my last house, I stayed in a terrace house. My neighbor on my right, we just moved in, I think it was about 2010. We moved in, and then there was this car that came to park on the road. You know, sometimes just a lane, and then he parked on the road, and someone parked the road on the road such that the car was parked such that when my neighbor on the right, an old lady, wanted to come out and reverse, her passage was blocked. She couldn't come out. So when she couldn't come out, the rest of us all looking around the neighborhood to find who parked the car down there. So we went to look around the road, we couldn't find. They were saying, wow, never mind, we just wait for this guy to come. But we went around looking for the guy, can't find him. No. And then about 1 hour later, I think the guy came out. And I could tell maybe he knew that we were looking for him. He came out, sheepishly want to take the car, want to zao already. Then I went to him and say, friend, hi, how you doing? Are you new to this neighborhood? You parked the car and then my neighbor cannot come out. No. And it was really so badly parked, Silas, that half the car was blocking the gate so that the lady couldn't reverse, my neighbor's mother. And the guy, when I confronted him, he turned back and he says, oh, but then he moved. He said, but you see, if you move from here, you can actually come out. I'm telling you, there's no way the car would have been able to come out. It's number one, reverse out. Number two, even if it's a front center, cannot come out, really cannot come out. So when he said that, I was so mad. But I was also, I gave this incredulous look. I was like, Tiffany, what are you saying? So I just looked at him, I said, and then at that time, the mother was really, is an old lady. She was really so puffed up, almost like wanted to ventilate already. So I told that guy who parked the car, I said, I look at him, I just, you apologize now to her. Now. And he did. After that, my neighbor treats me like I'm demigod. But that's injustice. You understand? I mean, I don't know how that fella still said it. He dared to say, I said, there's no way. Ask him. There's no way. Maybe he just panicked because I really glared at him. I didn't say anything. Winnie, you know, I'm so gentle. How am I? I'm not fierce. I just told him, I tell you what, you just apologize now. There was once I was at the supermarket outside Siglap. This is NTUC whereby when you go in, if you go in, sometimes you can't find a parking lot. You just want to park there. Then you go and buy something. But when you park there, the rest of the people all jam. Okay? You try to go Siglap. Beside, there's an NTUC. Okay? You can try next time. Go and check. You're supposed to go in there and try to find a parking lot. You cannot. You're supposed to go out. Turn out. One fella went there, couldn't find a parking lot. He just parked down there and stopped. I don't know why. I think I was just beside. Actually, nothing to do with me. I just went to the supermarket and I said, who... Me, the gentle one. I say, who parked the car there? Then one man, I think he panicked. I say, you get the car out now. I'm paying. I say, now. And he quickly ran out. Actually, it's nothing to do with me too. But that's also injustice, right? Sometimes we just need to do the right thing. Actually, I don't like to do this kind of thing, Wing. I'm very gentle and soft-hearted. But someone needs to say something. Are you with me? If no one says nothing, that fellow will keep doing it again. Have you been blocked before by some people whereby just park? It's not even a double yellow line park. That one you pay the fine. This is park there and it blocks up and chokes up everybody. This I say very carefully. If you check my law firm website, we during the time of the COVID and Silas and some of us know, you check my law firm website, we actually took an application for some people who were unvaxxed, and during that time, I think because you're unvaxxed, they couldn't even go to work because you're unvaxxed. Remember, there was this time whereby if you're not vaxxed, and some of them, as a result of that, I'm just stating the fact, they could not work, and some of them even lost their jobs and blah, blah. We took an application, and when you take an application like that, it's against the authorities, right? I know this is recorded. I'm choosing my words carefully, but someone needed to say something, to just say, perhaps these measures, could we relook? I love the government. You want to ask me who I vote for? But we thought, the firm, I said, we will do just this. And the best part is, God was gracious, before this matter had to go on all the way, the matter was settled because the measures got lifted along the way. There's always a price to pay when you take a position. Do you know that, Dawei? When you take a position, sometimes you take a big rise. About 10 years ago, we did a judicial review for a church because an MOM, a lady, had an extramarital affair. She was working in staff, and then she had an extramarital affair, and then after that, the church didn't pay her maternity benefits, and she went to MOM. And MOM told the church, you must pay. So the church said, I think there's something not so right about this whole decision. And whose firm did it? Again, my firm. Do I look like I got nothing better to do than to do these kind of things? But I want to say something. Sometimes someone just has to do that something. Are you with me? I love the government. I love Singapore. I'm a son of Singapore. But sometimes when there is injustice, Desmond Tutu, right? I love that. We should flesh it out. The only tutu I like is very delicious, but this Desmond Tutu, the guy. You err on the side of the oppressor. There's no neutrality in it. It's either right or wrong. It's either you do something about it or you don't. And isn't that also the Bible? It's either a yes or no. You don't sit on the fence. Are you with me? So if anything at all, please don't go out there and say we now become very whatever. No, we're just saying that if you read the book of Micah, capture the spirit. We love justice, right? Love justice. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. What does that mean for you, Alex, when you work? What does that mean for you, Cindy, when you administer a childcare center? What does it mean for you, Brian, when you see that in the class? Do you know that bullying is rampant in school? Are you aware? I have gone to see a principal before. And if your son sees that his classmate is bullied and you know about it, Owen, what do you say? What do you tell your son? Do we say, it's okay, keep quiet? Or do we say, let's look further into this? Are with me, guys? Not teaching us to be overly aggressive, to belligerent, no, but sometimes we need to do the right thing. Blessed are the peace what? The Beatitudes. Blessed are the peace what? Maker or peacekeeper? One more time. Is it blessed are the peacemakers or the peacekeepers? Answer. DG? Someone tell me the Bible. Peacemaker. Listen, there's a difference between blessed are the peacemaker and peacekeeper, right? If it's the peacemaker, is that the Bible? Peacemaker. What does it tell you? Implicit in that, there's conflict. Right? So guys, that's us, the believer. Sometimes Silas will have to make decisions between colleague A and colleague B in the church, in the bank. Winnie has a team of whatever. Sometimes you need to whatever. I've been asked to be possibly a professional deputy. Won't tell you more, but for example, some lady who, typical, right, maybe 70-something years old, perhaps, just give me the scenario, suddenly lose their mind. And then no one was with her there, but maybe now relatively rich. And then the friends suddenly become very friendly. The relatives, last time not so friendly, now become very friendly. So it's always this scary part about who is having what intentions. I'm choosing my words carefully. But if you become a professional deputy, what do? You become that neutral person, right? Not neutral in that sense, the neutral, but you go in there so that if you are appointed, what's your job? To make sure that things are done properly. Justice. Are you with me? Some of you may need me next time. But that is what we need to do in our administration of justice and the things that we do. Do we always be conscious of what God is teaching us? When, what's his name? Micah spoke, if you read Jeremiah 26 and followed by Jeremiah himself, right? King Hezekiah heeded the warning of Micah. Go and read Jeremiah 26. King Hezekiah heeded the warning of Micah. And to cut a long story short, he saved the nation for 100 years. But it took someone to stand up. Just like it took me to stand up to do a few things. And now my neighbors It's funny, sometimes the neighbors, you're not very close to them when you're staying with them. Now I moved away, now wow, we're all very badly. But I actually stood up for that lady. I'm not saying I'm the best, but sometimes we just need to. Who likes confrontation? Not many people, right? But we do the right thing. And I hope by going through this series, as we talk time and again, may God prompt us. It's always about being prompted by God to do the right thing. If everybody do that, I tell you, justice is justice. If you read the word of God, and I stop there, justice is like the what? The noonday sun. Are you with me? Justice is like what? The noonday sun. It brings light. It illuminates the scenario. Isn't that the word of God? Justice is like the noonday sun. Justice is not some undercutting. Justice is really bringing forth something so that the truth will set us free. Make sense? That's God's word for us today. Let us pray even as I invite the musicians to come forward. I know today, if not today, tomorrow, if not next week. Next week, please don't come. Next week, no service, but we resume on the 28th. Nick, but I already told Sabrina, Sabrina, you are taking over Sharon. Next time, 28th, Jen, come. Got homework to do. But today, we have a reunion dinner. What do you think I'm dressed like that? The lao hiao thing. My wife also, not she lao hiao, I lao hiao, not she. But we all dressed like, because after this, we're going for reunion. But before you go for the reunion, I ask you, no, not being cringeworthy, today's word is, will you sort of always reunite with God? You keep having to go back to God so that you reunion with Him and then you get your thoughts right. You know how to respond to each situation. Does it make sense to you? I just don't know why, but is it God reunion? But God says, reunite with Him first. Get it right with Him. And it's a day-to-day thing. Every day, just keep going back to God. Keep short accounts. Don't be pissed by people. Sometimes when you're oppressed, very difficult, but you need to forgive anyway. And people like, God, my goodness, do you hear him just now? Work 3 years without aircon. Angela was saying, looking at me, Angela, you too much. She says, I 3 hours already cannot tahan already. This fella three years. And then another 2 years of don't know what, my goodness. You can work without aircon for 3 years? Are you for real? Can we forgive people who do wrong against us, right? The oppressed. And can we also don't oppress people and stand up for those who are being oppressed? Let's pray. Father, thank you. As Silas and Shireen and Karen and I, as we lead in worship, just get this right before God. Reunite with God before you go and reunite with your family members. So that even when you reunite God, it sets the tone for your Chinese New Year. How do you go back to your family? And some of your family members, when you see your uncle, aunties, they may have wronged you in the past. And they're getting older, guys. Can we forgive them? So that the Lord's Prayer, when we spoke on 31st December, God can forgive you too. Amen? And tell the Lord, Father, I love you. And give all glory to Him. Get this right, even as Silas continues to just strum. And when you're ready, I'll give us a few more seconds. I want us to just come and worship the Lord today. Get it right with God. Amen. If you're ready, can I invite you to stand? Sing with me, Father, I love you. Father, I love you. My heart is filled with desire to see your power and glory. Cover the earth as the waters clothe the sea. I am surrounded by the fortress of God. I'm totally surrendered to you. Lift up my hands. I lift up my hands, standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. You've captured my heart. Now my life is changed. Lift up my hands. I lift up my hands. Lift up. I lift up my hand. From the top, the sisters sing, Father, I love you.
Father, I love you.
My heart is filled.
My heart is filled with desire to see your power and glory. Cover the earth as the waters.
Brothers, we sing the brothers. I am surrounded by the fortress of God. I'm totally surrendered. All together now we lift our hands. I lift up my hands, standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. You've captured my heart. Now my life is changed. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands. Sing to the Lord. I lift up my hands, standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. You've captured my heart, now my life is changed. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands. Will you lift your hands before the Lord today? Father, thank you for the hands I lifted up. Lord, bless my brother and my sister so that, Lord, as they continue to worship you, they will get it right with you. So, Lord, may they unite with you, and Lord, let your power and your glory come and bless them. So that, Lord, they will be the instrument of justice. I pray for you that through you, you will be bringing to God an aroma of sacrifice, justice like the noonday sun. So, Father, we thank you, we bless you. We ask, oh God, that you continue to bless us and watch over us, even as we continue to worship you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. My heart be still.
My heart.
My soul rests in your Savior's arms. We forgot that.
My soul rests in your Savior's arms.
My song shall ever be.
My song shall ever be. My road will ever lead to your goodness.
Plan for me to sing. Chorus, sing the Lord Jesus.
Worship all our praises. Jesus, we adore you. We adore you. You're our song true and the Savior. Jesus, we adore you. We adore you. All our worship, all our praises. Jesus, we adore you. We adore you.
Hear our song.
Hear our song true, endless ages. Jesus, we adore you. We adore you. All our worship. adore you. We adore you. You're our song through endless ages. Jesus, we adore you. We adore you. All our worship, all our praises, Jesus, we adore you. We adore you. You are our song to endless ages. Jesus, we adore you. We adore you.
Can we lift our hands before the Lord? Father, thank you as your people leave this place. May Chinese New Year. Can you begin to pray for your relatives and your family? Because you know them. Some of them you only meet once a year. This is the time. Can you just take a minute? Pray for them. Your uncle, your auntie, your kuma, your whoever. Can you pray for them? Some of them are not well. Some of them, maybe you're seeing them for the last Chinese New Year. You may never see them again because they're old. Would you just come before the Lord, begin to pray for them? Ask for God's blessing upon their lives. And may this be an opportunity as you bless them, as you go and hold their hands and talk to them, may you bring forth to them even the aroma of the sacrifice of God. Tell them of God and pray for them if you have an opportunity. Your parents who are aged, your uncles, your aunties, that generation. Father, thank you for Chinese New Year. In the next week or this weekend, as we have a reunion dinners or lunches or meetups with relatives, Lord, give us a word of comfort, of balming effect, of blessing to the people, our relatives. Lord, you chose for us to be in this clan, this surname, this tribe from a certain place, a certain country. Lord, help us to be a tremendous blessing to them because we are the redeemed. And are we able to really just bring forth a blessing to the family? So I ask of you, this season, be a blessing to your family. For those who are not well, Lord, keep them safe. Take away the flu. Take away any remnants of any hint of cold, so that, Lord, they enjoy this Chinese New Year and be a blessing to the family. Until we meet again on 28th, Lord, bless them. Watch over them. So in 2 weeks' time when we meet, you have good tidings. Father, we pray especially for the setting up of this young adult cell group. Lord, make something happen so that, Lord, we know we're in the right path. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Happy New Year. 恭喜发财. We see you on the 28th of January. God bless you.